May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you always. St. Paul encourages in his letter to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, good morning to the remnant of hardy Wisconsinites. Seems like an ever-shrinking breed. We encounter Jesus today in the temple. At a mere 12 years old, already engaging with the learned scholars over the Word of God, listening, asking questions, and as Luke reports, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He is a mere 12 years old. Well, no wonder everyone was amazed. Well, in light of this scene with Jesus and our Christmas season now recently concluded, I was pleasantly reminded of one of my first recollections of really engaging with the Word of God. Not the first time I had heard it, but perhaps the first time I kind of delved into it. I was 9 years old, in the third grade, and at Christmas, I unwrapped this little book that has been with me ever since. It is Good News for Modern Man. That is the New Testament in today's English version. Some of you may remember that book. It came with the simple inscription on the inside, to David from Mom and Dad, Christmas 1973. I mean, we're Germans after all. But I also recall my mother saying at the time, as she presented me my first sort of grown-up styled Bible, she said, we thought it time that you could start reading God's Word on your own. And I can honestly say that the gesture and the moment was not lost on me. Already at nine, it was clear that the Word of God was important in our home. And here it was, placed in my own hands with the invitation and the expectation that I could just go read it on my own. And so that Christmas evening is one of those memories from childhood that I can still clearly picture, sitting near the Christmas tree after the family had gone up to bed, reading. I had this kind of heartfelt, swelled up feeling that maybe, just maybe, I was starting to grow up. And reading that night, like the act itself, was somewhere between an honor and a sacred assignment. I read with purpose and pleasure. Not quite sure that anyone ever heard me talk about it was amazed at my understanding. Although I do recall one moment around that time, sort of a little satisfaction that I was able to ask one of those stump the pastor questions. Well, little did I know that in our own Sunday school, I would encounter stump the vicar questions fully a generation later. Well, fast forward to the first Christmas in our marriage. That was 1990. And once again, wrapped under the tree was the Word of God. This time it was a new study Bible to begin our marriage. And Mary added the inscription, your loving wife, to which was also noted Romans 12:2, which makes it appropriate for today. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And under that, she added this little note, may this gift be a continual source of growth and transformation. Well, and all the years later, nearly 30 of them, it continues to be that. Well, here ends my little moment of nostalgia and brings us instead to the point. In this day and age, in our view, through every conceivable mechanism and manner, we have the Word of God readily available. It can be in hand in conventional printed form, or on audio through discs and downloads, apps of all sorts, can be on our phones, news feeds, daily emails, devotional services, and of course through oral proclamation in worship and elsewhere. I do not believe there is a communication tool in existence today for which, or onto which, the scriptures have not been adapted. God's word is available to us everywhere. And the powerful truth of this word, perhaps made all the more timely because we are in the resolution season of the year, so to speak, is that the Holy Scriptures are the single greatest source of transformation in all humanity. In the original Greek, Paul employs the word metamorphone, which I suspect we all clearly recognize our English adaptation, metamorphosis. That kind of transformation is recognized to be profound. It's that caterpillar to butterfly moment. The latter is nothing like the former, and there's no going back once the change has occurred. The Holy Scripture are the means by which we are called to such a dramatic metamorphosis of the soul. And if that seems like an exaggerated claim, consider this. What transformation in human life could be more dramatic, more bold than the transformation, the metamorphosis from condemned enemy of God to beloved heir of eternal life? I mean, what could be more dramatic than that? I mean, poverty to riches can be bold, visible, blessed change. But that newly privileged life will still eventually end in death. Near death to full health, which we have seen in our midst time after time, is a tremendous blessing, one that we rejoice over, and it too will still eventually result again in our earthly death. Loneliness to companionship. I mean, even in the blessing of marriage, it still is only a glimpse into the perfect harmony, the relationship that God intends to have with us. Truly nothing could be more profound than our coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith that connects you to that famous promise of God that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Earlier in his letter to the Romans, St. Paul declares, "For faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." That's Romans 10:17. And there we are, right back at transformation, or metamorphosis, if you prefer, enabled to believe by hearing the word of God aloud in proclamation and teaching, or in hearing it in your own heart in a quiet reading or meditation. So where is 12-year-old Jesus? Well, in his father's house, there to engage in conversation about God's word, to listen, to ask, to even offer some pretty amazing answers. For 12-year-old Jesus already knows what St. Paul would later write to his student Timothy, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And Paul commended Timothy that he had begun his transforming by the word at an early age. He reminded Timothy how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, we praise God whenever the word of God is made available right from childhood to begin that process of blessed transformation. It is the very mission of our school. Paul also makes abundantly clear for us here in Romans 12 that this transformation is not some kind of one and done proposition. This is a lifelong, total life endeavor. Listen again to how Paul begins this brief section of his letter. I appeal to you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If our bodies are presented as living sacrifices, then surely everything we do and say is intended to be done and said in accordance with the will of God. And Paul is pleading with all of the recipients of this letter down through the ages to be all in where faith in Christ is concerned. For Jesus himself stopped at nothing in his sacrifice for our metamorphosis from condemned to redeemed. He gave his very life for that transformation to occur in each one of us. He was most certainly all in for us. So as we turn again and again to the Word of God, we turn toward Jesus and away from the Word of this world. By God's Word, our minds are renewed, our faith strengthened to understand God's will in our own individual lives. And this glorious process of transformation is also known by the work of the Holy Spirit as sanctification, the process of perpetually being made holy in Christ. I saw the other day that a number of evangelical Christian leaders are calling for 2020 to be recognized as the year of the Bible. Well, no doubt they're picking up on this same theme, a theme we talked about last week too, how we have a real life clarity through God's Word. But it's an interesting, surely well-intentioned effort to encourage us to be in the Word, but as we well know, there is no single year that is the year of the Bible. It is indeed our lifelong companion. But as this year is still just beginning, I would invite you to consider once again how in your own heart and mind you intend to be engaged in God's Word every day with whatever means or mechanism best suits your daily routine. I would encourage you to post Romans 12:2 at the very top of your New Year resolutions. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And may the gift of God's Word that is received by us daily be for you also a continuous source of growth and transformation in Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and His Word today and always. Amen.